An uncharitable sort of person would have gotten suspicious. They would have thought that Thomas must have been engaging in something, probably illegal and certainly immoral, to make his living. They would have dwelt on the idea that, as a kind of incubus, it would be a simple matter for him to seduce and control any wealthy woman he chose, providing sustenance and finances in a single package. Good thing I'm not one of those uncharitable guys. I sighed. If he wasn't going to talk, he wasn't going to talk. Time to change the subject. Glau, I said quietly. Madrigal sidekick there. You said he was a Jan? Thomas nodded. Scion of a djinn and a mortal. He worked for Madrigal's father. Then my father arranged to have Madrigal's father go skydiving, naked. Glau stuck with Madrigal after that. Was he dangerous? I asked. Thomas thought about it for a moment and then said, he was thorough. Details never slipped by. He could play a courtroom like some kind of maestro. He was never finished with something until it was dissected, labeled, documented, and locked away in storage somewhere. But he wasn't a threat in a fight? Not as such things go. He could kill you dead enough, but not much better than any number of things. Funny, then, I said. The scarecrow popped him first. Thomas glanced back at me, arching a brow. Think about it, I said. This thing was supposed to be a phobophage, right? Going after the biggest source of fear. Sure. Glau was barely conscious when it grabbed him, I said. It was probably me or Madrigal who was feeling the most tension, but it took out Glau, specifically. You think someone sent it for Glau? I think it's a reasonable conclusion. Thomas frowned. Why would anyone do that? To shut him up, I said. I think Madrigal was supposed to go down for these attacks, at least in front of the supernatural communities. Maybe Glau was in on it. Maybe Glau arranged for Madrigal to be here. Or maybe the scarecrow went after Glau because he was wounded and separate from the rest of us. It might have been a coincidence. Possible, I allowed. But my gut says it wasn't. Glau was their cutout man. They killed him to cover their trail. Who do you think they is? I rubbed at my face, hoping the stimulation might move some more blood around in my brain and knock loose some ideas. Not sure. My head hurts. I'm missing some details somewhere. It should be enough for me to piece this together, but damned if I can see it. I shook my head and fell quiet. Where to? Thomas asked. Hospital, I said. We'll drop Rollins off. Then what? Then I pick up the trail of those phages and see if I can find out who summoned them. I told him briefly about the events of the afternoon and evening. If we're lucky, all we'll find is some maniac's corpse with a surprised look on his face. What if we aren't lucky? He asked. Then it means the summoner is a hell of a lot better than I am to fight off three of those things. I rubbed at one eye. And we'll have to take him down before he hurts anyone else. The fun never ends, Thomas said. Right, hospital. Then circle the block around the hotel. The spell I diverted the phages with had the tracking element worked into it. Sunrise will unravel it, and we don't know how long it will take to follow the trail. I directed Thomas to the nearest hospital, and he carried the unconscious Rollins through the emergency room doors. He came back a minute later and told me, they're on the job. Let's go then, otherwise someone will want to ask us questions about gunshot wounds. Thomas was way ahead of me, and the van headed back to the hotel. I got the spell ready. It wasn't a difficult working, under normal circumstances, but I felt as wrung out as a dirty dish rag. It took me 3 tries to get the spell up and running, but I managed it. Then I climbed into the passenger seat, where I could see evidence of the phages passing as a trail of curling, pale green vapor in the air. I gave Thomas directions. We followed the trail, and it led us toward Wrigley. Not a whole hell of a lot of industry was going on in my aching skull, but after a few minutes, something began to gnaw at me. I looked blearily around and found that the neighborhood looked familiar. We kept on the trail. The neighborhood got more familiar. The vapor grew brighter as we closed in. We turned a last street corner. My stomach twisted in a spasm of horrified nausea. The green vapor trail led to a two-story white house, a charming place, somehow carrying off the look of suburbia despite being inside the third largest city in America. Green lawn despite the heat, white picket fence, children's toys in evidence. The vapor led up to the picket fence first. There were three separate large holes in the fence where some enormous force had burst the fence to splinters. Heavy footprints gouged the lawn. An imitation old-style wrought iron gaslight had been bent to parallel with the ground about 4 feet up. The door had been torn from its hinges and flung into the yard. A minivan parked in the driveway had been crushed as if by a dropped wrecking ball. I couldn't be sure, but I thought I saw blood on the doorway. The decorative mailbox 3 feet from me read, in cheerfully painted letters, "The Carpenters." Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'd sent the phages after Molly.